Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling something fundamental, a skill we think we have down pat, but maybe don't. Reading. Specifically, Mortimer Adler's classic, How to Read a Book.
Yeah, it's a fantastic choice because, you know, everyone's talking about information overload, right? Endless feeds, quick takes.
Exactly.
And Adler, writing decades ago, was basically saying, hold on, are you actually understanding any of this? His book isn't about just decoding words. It's about intellectual muscle.
Right. That's the core idea we want to unpack. Adler's not talking about reading the news or a beach novel. He means tackling books that are, frankly, a bit intimidating at first.
Books above your head, as he puts it.
Yeah, those are the ones that make you grow. He believed, if it's not a bit of a struggle, you're probably not really learning anything profound.
Mm-hmm. It's about shifting from just passively absorbing stuff to actively, you know, mastering knowledge, developing critical thinking.
So this deep dive is about exploring his system for doing just that. Let's start with the man himself, Mortimer J. Adler. Born 1902, philosopher, educator, big figure at University of Chicago.
And deeply involved in that whole great books movement.
But what really made him the guy to write the book on reading?
Well, it wasn't just theory for him. It was intensely practical. Think about his work editing the Encyclopedia Britannica. Huge job.
Okay.
But even bigger was masterminding the Great Books of the Western World series. We're talking 54 volumes of the heaviest hitters in Western thought.
Wow. Yeah, that's a serious undertaking.
And then there's the Syntopicon. That's the real kicker.
The Syntopicon. Right. That was the index, wasn't it? But more than just an index.
Oh, way more. Imagine trying to map out how Plato, Aristotle, Newton, Freud, all these massive thinkers across centuries talked about the same big ideas like truth or justice or love.
So they had to invent a way to compare radically different arguments on the same theme.
Exactly. They had to dissect arguments, identify core concepts, even when the authors used different words, and then synthesize it all. He literally had to practice the highest level of reading, what he later called syntopical reading, just to create the index.
Okay, so his qualifications came from being deep in the trenches, wrestling with these complex texts himself.
Precisely. And his goal wasn't just academic. He wanted to take those high-level analytical tools and make them accessible, usable for any curious person wanting to learn independently.
Which brings us neatly to the book itself, How to Read a Book. What's the absolute core message? What's the big shift he wants us, the readers, to make?
The big shift is from passive to active. Stop thinking of reading as just receiving information, like pouring water into a jug.
Okay.
Adler says reading, real reading for understanding, is more like a conversation or even a debate. It's a skill, like playing tennis. You need technique, you need practice, you need effort.
So it's not about how fast you read, but how deep you go.
Exactly. It's about transforming reading from just collecting facts into actually gaining wisdom, real understanding.
And he maps this out, right? Gives us levels. It's not just one way to read.
Yes, a hierarchy. Four levels, really. There's elementary reading, that's basic literacy, what we learn in school.
Got it.
Then comes inspectional reading, the art of skimming intelligently. Then analytical reading, the deep dive into a single book. And finally, the peak, syntopical reading, comparing multiple books on the same topic.
Let's break those down. First, that distinction he makes. Reading for information versus reading for understanding. That seems key.
Absolutely fundamental. Right. Reading for information is, well, easy. You read a newspaper article. You learn who won the game, what happened yesterday. It adds to your store of facts.
Right. Stays on the same level you're already at.
Exactly. But reading for understanding, that's when you tackle something that initially confuses you, something that forces you to stretch your mind.
And that's where the growth happens.
That's where it happens. Adler says you have to reach up to the book. It won't come down to you. But he gives us a way to start that climb. Level two, inspectional reading.
Okay, inspectional reading. This sounds practical, like something you could use every day. Systematic skimming.
Pretty much. It's about getting the blueprint of the book before you commit to reading every word. You look at the title, the subtitle, the table of contents, definitely the index.
The index. Why the index?
The index tells you what topics the author thinks are most important, what terms they focus on. You also check the publisher's blurb, the intro, the conclusion.
So you're basically casing the joint before you go in.
Huh. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. You spend maybe 15 minutes, half an hour, just figuring out, what kind of book is this? What's its main argument? What's the structure? Is it even worth my time to read deeply?
That answers the first of his four big questions for a reader. What is the book about as a whole?
Exactly. It's triage for your reading time. Incredibly useful when you're faced with a mountain of stuff to read.
Okay, so you've inspected the book, decided it's worth the effort. Now you move to level three, analytical reading. This is the main event, right?
This is the core of Adler's method. Reading a single book thoroughly, digging deep. And he breaks this down into three stages.
Stage one is structure.
Structure. You have to figure out the book's skeleton. Rule number two is crucial. Classify a book. Is it history, science, philosophy, practical? Knowing the genre tells you what questions to ask of it.
And rule three, state the unity. Summarize the entire book in a sentence or a short paragraph.
That sounds
hard.
It is hard, especially for a complex book, but it's a powerful discipline.
Why so strict? Why just one sentence?
Because Adler believed quite strongly that if you can't say concisely what the whole book is about, you haven't truly understood its main point. He famously said, "The person who says he knows what he thinks but cannot express it usually does not know what he thinks."
Ouch. Okay, point taken. All right. It forces you to achieve clarity.
Total clarity. If you can do it, you own the core message.
Okay, so that's stage one, structure. Then stage two is interpretation, getting the author's message.
Right. And this is where you really get into the details. Rules 5 through 8. First, come to terms with the author.
Terms. Like keywords.
Exactly. Identify the most important words the author uses and figure out precisely what they mean by them. Not what you think they mean, or the dictionary definition, but the author's specific usage in this context.
So if someone writes about freedom, you need to pin down their specific definition of freedom for that argument.
Precisely. Otherwise, you're just talking past each other. Once you have the terms, you grasp the main propositions, the key statements or claims the author is making.
The core sentences that carry the argument.
Yes. And then finally, you understand the arguments themselves. How does the author support those propositions? What evidence? What reasoning? You're basically reverse engineering their thinking process.
Terms, propositions, arguments.
Okay.
And after all that work understanding the author, then you get to criticize. Stage three.
Then, and only then. This is Adler's intellectual etiquette. His big rule here, rule 9, is you absolutely must be able to say, honestly, I understand, before you offer agreement, disagreement, or even suspend judgment.
No knee-jerk reactions. Understand first, critique second.
Right. Jumping to criticism without understanding is just, well, it's rude intellectually and it's pointless.
And he gives us specific grounds for criticism, doesn't he? You can't just say, I don't like it.
No, that's not criticism. That's just opinion. He gives 4 valid grounds. You can argue the author is uninformed, lacks necessary knowledge, misinformed, has wrong facts, illogical, their reasoning is flawed, or their analysis is incomplete, they haven't considered everything relevant.
That's a really useful framework. Uninformed, misinformed, illogical, incomplete. It forces your critique to be specific and reasoned.
It really does. If your disagreement doesn't fit one of those, you might need to check if it's just based on your own bias or emotion.
Okay, before we hit the highest level, Adler throws in a point about different genres needing different approaches,
okay.
Right?
Yeah. That's in part 3. You don't read a poem the same way you read a math textbook.
Makes sense.
With fiction, you're looking at plot, character, theme. You appreciate it. You don't necessarily agree or disagree with the story itself. With a practical book, like, say, a cookbook or a business guide, the main question is, does it work? Is the advice useful?
So you tailor your analytical reading to the type of book. Got it. Which leads us finally to the summit, level 4, syntopical reading.
The Mount Everest of reading. This is about reading multiple books on the same subject, not just one, but maybe 5, 10, 20 books, all tackling, say, the causes of the Civil War or the future of AI.
And the goal isn't just to understand each book individually.
No. The goal is to understand the subject itself, the whole conversation happening across those books. You, the reader, become the moderator of a debate between authors who might never have met.
How does that work? What's the key step that makes it different?
The absolute key, the most difficult part, is that you have to create a neutral vocabulary, a set of terms that applies to all the authors, even if they didn't use those terms themselves.
Why create new terms? Why not just use theirs?
Because author A's democracy might be very different from author B's democracy. To compare them fairly, you need your own objective framework. You define the key issues, you frame the questions, and then you see how each author answers your questions using your neutral terms.
Wow, okay. That really puts the reader in charge. You're not just consuming, you're actively constructing a new understanding from the sources.
Exactly. You're synthesizing. It's incredibly demanding, but also incredibly powerful for gaining a truly deep, multifaceted grasp of a complex topic.
Okay, stepping back from the levels.
Yeah.
What are the big overarching themes here? What's the spirit of the book?
Well, number one is definitely the activity of reading. Adler hammers this home. Reading isn't passive. He uses that great analogy. The writer is the pitcher. The reader is the catcher.
If the catcher isn't paying attention and using skill, the ball just drops.
Precisely. Effort is required. Which links to the second theme. Information versus understanding, or maybe the importance of struggle.
Right, the idea that real learning happens when you're challenged.
Mm-hmm. If a book feels easy, it's probably just giving you information you mostly already align with. The books that make you sweat a little, that force you to reread a paragraph, those are the ones expanding your mind.
That's actually quite motivating. Takes the shame out of finding something difficult.
Totally. Then there's the lovely idea of books as conversation partners. Reading becomes a way to engage with brilliant minds across time. The book is patient. It will always repeat its points for you.
Like having Socrates or Jane Austen on call whenever you want.
Sort of. And all this effort, all these levels, they lead to the ultimate theme. The path to a free mind.
How so?
Because mastering these reading skills equips you for independent thought. You learn how to analyze arguments, spot flaws, synthesize diverse views. That builds intellectual confidence and makes you less susceptible to manipulation or shallow thinking. It's about becoming an informed citizen, a critical thinker.
Okay, let's ground this in some memorable lines. Adler's writing is dense, but also full of punchy insights. Any quotes stand out?
Oh, definitely. That one I mentioned earlier is huge. The person who says he knows what he thinks but cannot express it usually does not know what he thinks.
Yeah, that connects understanding directly to articulation. If you can't explain it, you probably don't get it. Powerful.
Another one really captures the struggle theme. You have to reach up to a book. It will not come down to your level.
I like that. It validates the effort required for difficult texts. It's supposed to be a reach.
And related to why we read deeply, there's this gem. The point is not to see how many of them books you can get through, but rather how many can get through you, how many you can make your own.
Depth over quantity. Making the ideas part of your own thinking, not just ticking off a reading list.
Exactly. It's about assimilation, not just accumulation.
So how can people listening apply these ideas, like tomorrow, beyond just reading the great books?
We'll start with inspectional reading. Next time you get a dense report at work, or even a long, confusing news analysis, don't just plunge in. Take 10 minutes. Skim the headings, read the first and last paragraphs, check the summary, get the map first.
That alone could save hours and make the actual reading much more focused. Okay, what about for professionals dealing with, say, business books or industry reports?
Use the analytical reading framework. Don't just swallow the advice whole. Ask, what's the core claim here? Proposition. What are the key terms they're using and how are they defined? What's the evidence? Argument. And critically, using Adler's grounds for critique. Is this analysis maybe incomplete for my specific industry or situation?
So it turns you from a passive recipient of advice into an active critic. You can adapt the ideas intelligently.
Right. And for really big decisions, life choices, complex issues, think about the syntopical reading process as a model.
How would that work practically? You're not usually reading 10 books before making a decision.
Maybe not 10 books, but the principle applies. If you're facing a major medical choice or a big financial decision, don't just rely on one doctor or one financial advisor. Actively seek out multiple credible viewpoints, especially ones that might disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Then you define the core questions. You compare how different experts answer those questions. You force them into a conversation in your own mind to arrive at your own informed judgment. It's about taking intellectual responsibility.
That's a powerful way to approach complexity.
Yeah.
Taking ownership of the synthesis.
Right.
Okay, final thoughts. What was the biggest takeaway or surprise for you revisiting Adler?
For me, it's just how timeless and foundational this is. In an age of endless distraction, the discipline Adler advocates the focus, the systematic approach, the insistence on understanding before judging feels more crucial than ever. Becoming a better reader truly is practice for becoming a better thinker.
Yeah, what struck me was the idea of the book as a patient teacher. The notion that you can struggle, go back, reread, and the book just waits for you. It reframes difficulty not as failure, but as part of the learning dialogue. It's about mental discipline.
Absolutely. It's a toolkit for life, really.
And maybe the most provocative thought is Adler's underlying argument that developing your mind through this kind of active, challenging reading isn't just a nice hobby, it's almost a moral duty. It's how we become fully realized, thinking individuals. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.